And so this lets us know that all we have to do is just stay in the race. We don't need to try to win the race because the race has already been won. We don't need to try to win the victory. The victory has already been won. All we need to do, say it again, stay in the race. That's all you got to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2.
We started last week by looking at this lion, and we said that in Proverbs 22:13 and Proverbs 26:13, that the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. And then 26:13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And we began the thought that the lion actually represents excuses. The lion represents excuses. And what is an excuse? An excuse is an explanation used to defend or justify a fault, offense, or lack of desire and effort to achieve a goal. That the lazy man says that, well, I don't want to go out because there's a lion out there. And so that lion actually stands between us and the things that God has called us to do. And you know, I kind of summarize it like this, that the lion represents disabling justifications. Things that we justify that disable us. Things that keep us from going back to school again. Things that keep us from writing that book. Things that take us from taking that class, things that take us away from beginning that exercise program, things that take us away from eating right. So, you know, there are disabling justifications, and we can use those excuses that keep us away from the things that God would have us to do. Now, as we start the message this morning, the message this morning is about conquering. It's about victory. And you know, victory is something that everybody wants. If you watch the playoff games yesterday, that everybody wanted to win. Both teams, or all teams, wanted to win. You look at Hollywood, they have the Oscars and all these awards that everybody wants to win. If you look at politics, you know, people run for office because they want to win, because they want to be victorious. Why do nations get in wars? Nations get in wars because they want to win. Everybody wants to win. But the reality is, if you think about it, there are more losers than winners. I mean, I thought about this for a second. Just think about football. That sometime this month or next month, whenever they play the Super Bowl, that one team will win, and they will be the Super Bowl champions. They will be the victors. And guess what that means for all the other teams? They lost. I mean, no matter how successful your season has been, no matter how well you've done, the fact of the matter is that you didn't win the big game, so that you lost. Let me give it to you again. All right, so in Hollywood, they have the best actor, right? So just think of all the movies that they make throughout the year. And then it basically boils down to, when they give this award, to four or five people. And out of those four or five people, only one person wins. So guess what? That means that all the other actors, no matter how successful their movies were, no matter how much money they made, the fact of the matter is that they didn't win the best. So in a sense, they lost. As we look at the Christian life, Amen. The Christian life is one where there are no losers. Everybody is a winner. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, everybody is a winner. In verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That everybody has the victory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. And it says here, know ye not that they who run in a race run all? So he's going back to that earthly contest again, right? But only one person receives the prize. That in an earthly race, only one person receives the prize. He says, but you run that you may obtain. And the word obtain means to grasp or seize the prize. And so this lets us know that all we have to do is just stay in the race. We don't need to try to win the race because the race has already been won. We don't need to try to win the victory. The victory has already been won. All we need to do, say it again, stay in the race. That's all you got to do. And so we look at the world, and the world is set up for winning events and winning victory. But as far as the child of God is concerned, we are all winners. You might remember that song back in the 70s by Curtis Mayfield. We're a winner. And never let anybody say you can't make it because a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry. We have finally dried our eyes. And we're moving on up. Why? Because we're a winner. As believers, we are winners. Now, when we look at this idea of victory in the New Testament, there's a word. And I've shared this before. And the word is Nike. There's a Greek word that appears throughout the New Testament, and it's the word Nike. And we see this word actually originates, if you put up the next slide, the word actually originates in Greek mythology, that there was actually a goddess who was known as Nike. And she was the goddess of victory. And many times, if you look back in history and you see in Greek events that if somebody won a race or they won an event, the goddess Nike would be perched above the victor with outspread wings. And then in the mythology or in the Greek culture, Nike became to mean more than just victory in a competition or athletic event, but it actually represented successes in life. And Nike was seen as that mediator between the gods and men that represented victory, the goddess of victory. You may remember, if you go to that next slide, a couple years ago, there was what was known as Nike missiles, that in the 60s, the United States actually developed a series of missiles, and they were called Nike missiles. And these were some bad missiles, right? Because they were about 21 to 50 feet long. They had a range of 21 to 50 feet, and they could travel at 1,500 miles an hour. And you may have seen a couple times in over there in Iraq, whenever they were shooting missiles at Israel, and the United States launched one of these Nike missiles, and it blew up the Iranians or the Iraqians' missiles that they were shooting at Israel. Just came right out of nowhere and blew them out of the sky, Nike missiles. Now, here's the one that you're probably all familiar with, and that's Nike sportswear. And we see that this actually comes from the mythological goddess. That's where they get this from. And even the swoosh, because the mythological goddess, Nike, the goddess of victory, had wings that were outstretched, and that swoosh actually was designed from the wings of the Greek goddess. And so we see that this word Nike is a prevalent word throughout history. Now, as we look at the Bible, Nike, as it represents in the Bible, we see a couple things. The term is used to let believers know that they can overcome evil. It's used to let you know that you can overcome the devil, and it's used to let you know that you can overcome the world. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says, do not recompense evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That is the wrath of God. Don't try to avenge yourself. When somebody's done you wrong, don't try to get even. It says, let God take care of the situation. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then notice what he says here. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What's the word that we have there? The word is Nike. Be not Nike by evil, but Nike evil with good. That as people of God, that we should never allow evil to overcome us, but it should always be our habit and always be our practice that we are overcoming evil with good. Notice the second thing that it says, that we not only overcome evil, but we also overcome the devil. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have Nike overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. And you have Nike, the wicked one. That God has given us this ability to overcome Satan. And the idea of overcoming back in the culture of the day, whenever a leader would overcome another leader and conquer him, that he would put his foot on his neck as a sign of overcoming and as a sign of victory. So the Bible lets us know that we have the ability to put our foot on the neck of the devil. And then finally, we see that this word Nike is used again in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. And it lets us know that we can overcome the world. We can overcome the world. For whatever is born of God, Nike the world. And this is the victory that Nike the world, even our faith. Who is he that Nike the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This word Nike is a powerful word. And as we look at this word, we see that it applies to many areas of life. But let me give you, and this is the basis of my message today, is the one in Romans 8:37. And it says in Romans 8:37, which is our theme text, Romans 8:37. It says that, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The word used there is Nike. But you know what? Those other places where Nike was used, Nike stood alone. But in this place, there's a preposition before the word Nike. And the word, the preposition actually means over. And if Nike means overcomer, then this word here in Romans 8:37, guess what that means? Over, overcomer. You are just not an ordinary overcomer, but you are an overcomer. You know, to overcome means that, you know, you kind of get the victory through the little problems in life. You know, when if you're impatient and you come to a red light and you sit at that red light with patience, then you can say, well, I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. Or if you get to the grocery store and, you know, you stand in line, and when you get to the register, the tape breaks and now you got to wait for them to change the tape, and you stand there with patience and endurance, then you are an overcomer. But this word is not talking about that. That this word actually means that you overcome in the midst of trying situations and circumstances. That you overcome when things come in your life that were meant to take you out. When things that come in your life that were meant to bury you, that when things that come into your life and they were meant to put the nail in the coffin of your life, that you are an overcomer. It's just not an ordinary victor or conqueror or overcomer, but it's to overcome in the midst of trying situations and circumstances. You know, when I think of, you know, a story that I heard about this guy who had a mule, and everywhere he went, he took this mule with him. And he had to go into town one day, and he couldn't take the mule, so he tied the mule up in the back of his house, went to town, and when he came back, the rope had been chewed off, and the mule was gone. He looked everywhere he could to find the mule, but he couldn't find him. And so finally, he heard a noise, and he looked down in a well, an empty well, and the mule had stumbled down into the well. And the man was heartbroken because he loved this mule. And he did everything he could to get the mule out, but he couldn't get the mule out. And so after a long time of trying, he said that, well, you know what? He didn't have a decent death. He said, at least I can give him a decent burial. And so he began to shovel dirt and put it down into the well. And as he did that for about 5 minutes, he heard a noise. And he looked down in the well, and the mule was actually shaking the dirt off of his back, patting it under his feet, and starting to get higher and higher and higher. That he learned how to shake the dirt off of his back. He learned how to shake the problems off of his back, to pat them under his feet, and get a little bit higher. That's what an overcomer is. An overcomer is one who can shake the problems off their back and put them under their feet and allow them to get a little higher. And somebody said they heard the mule saying, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. So you know, that's what an overcomer is. Now, this is a book that I've had for years, and I kind of talked about it a little bit last week. Powerful book. More Than Conquerors, edited by John Woodbridge. And in this book, he talks about people from everyday walks of life who faced insurmountable odds, yet in spite of the insurmountable odds, that they were able to overcome, you know, through the power of God. And you know, the beautiful thing about this book is that it's talking about, as the song says, ordinary people. Ordinary people. People such as you and me who are willing to do what he commands. And ordinary people who became extraordinary people. And in this book, in the introduction of the book, he lists some common traits that were among all these individuals who were overcomers. And as I looked at, you know, sometimes, man, we want to go to this seminar, this deep seminar that's going to tell us how to live a deeper spiritual life. And you know, I have no problem with that, you know, because I attend sometimes, you know, some new thing that's been found, some new thing that's been discovered that can help us and give us strength and a new way to use technology in our spiritual lives. And so sometimes, you know, we're looking for all these deep things. And as I share these characteristics that were common that he found among some of the greatest people, presidents, business people, athletes, musicians, other kind of entertainers, that there was common traits that was among them. And these things are so simple that they are profound. Yeah, as I go through them, I know what you're going to say. Yeah. We heard that all before. Yeah, we heard that all before. But you know what? As I look at it and as I challenge myself, you know, I began to think, yeah, I've heard this all before. But am I doing it? But am I doing it? And again, with these individuals, you know, very simple things, but yet and still, they became more than conquerors. He's not in there, but I was thinking about a man named James Jones, not the one that led people down to South America and got all these people to commit, not that one, but there was another young man. His name was James Jones, and he had a problem with stuttering. And as he stuttered, you know, people in his class growing up, they made fun of him. And one of the things that he would do, you know, as he dealt with, you know, and today we would call it being bullied, is that he began to write poems. And he began to write some of the most beautiful poems. But he would not stand before people. He would not speak. And so he had a new teacher that came and understood the issue that he was dealing with. And so he said to James, he read one of his poems, and he said to James, "You didn't write this poem." And James said, "Yes, I did." He said, "You didn't write this poem." And James said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, if you wrote this poem, then I want you to read it. I want you to stand up and read it before the class. If you wrote it, because I'm not going to believe that you wrote it unless you stand up and read it before the class." And he stood up and began to read his poetry. And the person that had a problem with stuttering, the words began to flow from his lips. This man read his poem beautifully. You know, fast forward years later, you all know this person. His name is James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones. And the beautiful thing is that James Earl Jones has actually read the Bible on tape, on CD, that people can listen to. And when James Earl Jones got an award, he went back and he thanked that teacher. And he said that this teacher who helped me overcome.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire 9-part series, More Than Conquerors, is made available by request, either by phone at 877-831-5060 or by visiting our website, anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060 We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.